And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6 here this evening. And as we get started, again, I want to, of course, just thank, so thankful to be able to be here and to not only to present the work, but to be able to preach God's word. I don't take it lightly to be behind this sacred desk and to be able to do that. So I do want to pray that God will just speak to your heart here tonight. And if you will listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we can be done fast, right? They say that's how that's done. And well, we're very thankful for the opportunity here tonight. Let's get into the Word of God. If you found your place in 2 Kings chapter 6, if you find it, we'll go ahead and stand with respect to reading God's Word. If you're not able to stand, that's fine as well. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us pray thee unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant." And he answered, "I will go." And he went and with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Verse number 5, it says, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Verse number 6, "And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he answered him the place, and he cut down the stick and cast it in hither, and the iron did swim." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to the hearts of your people as only that you can. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach here tonight. I sure don't take it lightly. And God, I know that if anything's going to get done, that you're going to have to do it. Well, Lord, someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they get this settled before it's everlastingly too late. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated here this evening. As we look through the passage of the Word of God here, a familiar passage of Scripture, we look at the axe head falling off. We say, yeah, that's maybe a familiar passage of Scripture, and there's a lot of people that go in. Verse number 1 kind of goes through, and it begins to tell us that the place where they had was too straight, it was too small, and they begin to desire to have something bigger, something greater to be able to dwell in, and they ask to be able to go and to get beams, to cut down beams, and to Jordan, and so they could go and later then to build something bigger. And the answer, of course, was for them that they were able to do that, and we see Elisha goes with them. And some things can begin to transpire. The Bible doesn't say how many people went. We just know that there was every man. And we find going through this passage of Scripture, we see, of course, we like to focus in on the Bible. Of course, we see here in verse number 6 and 7, of course, with the axe head being falling off, but also being restored. But the Bible tells us quite a few different things about this. It tells us about a man that was trying to do something good and something bad happened. He was his heart was in the right place. His attitude seemed like it was in the right place. Everything he was trying to do, but as he was trying to do something good, something bad happened. Anybody ever been there? Says, man, I was just trying to do something good, and it seems like everything is just kind of falling apart and not really getting to what I want to do. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll second guess ourselves. Says, well, am I really supposed to do this? What's exactly going on? And the Bible doesn't focus in on every person that everything went okay for. The Bible just focused in on this guy that everything kind of fell apart and kind of didn't go the way that he had planned to do. And we see this person. It's not mentioned by really his name of who he is. We just know that he was a willing servant to go be obedient to what was called to do. He wanted to be a part. He wanted to make himself available. If you find even later in the Scriptures, you'll find that once it was lost, that even it tells us, he says that he cries and he says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He may not have had what was needed to be involved, but he figured a way out to be able to get involved instead of saying, well, there's no way for me to be involved. And what a wonderful thing it is in the Christian life, instead of saying, well, I just can't get involved, but to find a way to get involved in the work of God and to find your way to be able to do the work that God's called for us to do. And we're thankful for the attitude of this person. But we find first thing we see here is this man lost his ability. The Bible tells us, he says, I can do all things through Christ. We understand that. Nothing's impossible with God. We find even in John 15:5, in the latter part of that verse, it begins to tell us that without me ye can do nothing. We know we can't do anything without him. And the Bible talks about the axe head, and it talks about this. And this is a picture of God's power and God's presence. And we find that with the axe head, it makes a big difference trying to cut down a tree with an axe head. And it makes a big difference if you're trying to cut down a tree without an axe head. There's a big difference. It's a night and day difference, really, of what God is able to do. And it's a good example of what man can do on their own and what man can do with God's power and God's presence. And that every person needs God's power and God's presence within their life. There's really no substitution for what God can do in the hearts of and lives of each individual person. I'm not talking about just a pastor. I'm not talking about just a missionary or an evangelist or even a Sunday school teacher. Every born-again child of God needs to have God's power and God's presence within their life. God is just as much concerned with every person as he is with just one individual. God wants the very best for you just as much as he wants the best for everyone else. So we find, as we're looking through this passage of scripture, we find this man that something bad has happened while he was trying to do something good, and as he's trying to do what needs to be done, we find that that things begin to fall apart. One thing we need to focus on here is if we look at verse number 2, the Bible tells us, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And we find here it says, and take thence every man a beam. So here's what the Bible says. As they were going to Jordan, here was the responsibility that every person, every man had. They were to go to Jordan, and every one of them were responsible for a beam. Every one of them were responsible. Now, this guy has a problem because his axe heads fell off. And I don't know if you ever tried to cut a tree down without an axe head, but it doesn't work that well. It's kind of hard to do. It is very laboring. It's very frustrating. And the other fact is that nothing is getting accomplished. You can get sweaty. You can get a good workout. You can get that, but there's no results. And you begin to say, well, I'm here and I'm swinging away, but nothing is really happening the way that it's supposed to. And we begin to think, well, maybe this just isn't the spot. Maybe this just isn't like it used to be. And we look at maybe different things as, well, maybe God, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. But we have to take the hard look sometime. Maybe it is not God. Maybe it's not the place God put us. Maybe it is somewhere along the lines that our axe head has fell off, and we just continue to keep swinging and thinking that, well, we're just going to continue to do all the work. We can work as much as we want, and we can strive to do that. We understand that, and I believe we're supposed to be faithfully working. The ministry is work, serving the Lord and doing those things. There's a lot of things that go into it, but we cannot do it on our own power. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, come, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. We understand when we try to do the work of God without God, doesn't that sound silly? But so many times, if we're not careful, we'll just go through the motions of trying to serve God and trying to live for God and trying to do the things on our own power. And we understand when we try to do things in the work of God by our own power, we come to find out that we will always fall short of what needs to be done, because we are no match for the power and the presence of God. We need that in our Christian life. I need that in my Christian life. You need that in your Christian life. God needs his people to be spirit-filled. They need them to be able to be right where they need to be. They need to be walking with him and talking with him and understanding if we have sin in our life to confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only reason we ever have sin in our life still in our life is because we haven't taken the time to ask God to forgive us of our sin. He's willing to forgive us and for us to move on. So we see the opportunity that he has. He went to do something, but his responsibility was to cut down a beam. It wasn't anybody else's. Now, we can look at a lot of different things that we could say. We said everybody else in the woods, as far as we know, has their axe head and is doing what needs to be done. Now, it says here in verse number 5, it says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell off. This means that there was some evidence that he was doing the job that he was supposed to, but in the midst of doing something good, something bad happens, and all of a sudden his axe head has fell off. Now he's not able to do the job that he's supposed to do, and he right now is stuck in the woods by Jordan, not able to do anything that he was supposed to do. And we find as we look through this that as he's going through and seeing it is, yes, there was some evidence of what he was able to do before the axe head fell off, but not able to accomplish the work that God has called for him to do. If we're not careful, we get started our Christian life. We get saved. We know Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, which is the best decision that any person could ever make in trusting Jesus Christ. And then we begin to grow in our Christian life. Remember how excited we were and how thankful we were for the things of God. And we were excited about coming to Sunday school, excited about Sunday morning, excited about Sunday night and revival meetings and prayers and prayer nights and missions conference and whatever the church had going. Man, it was just so exciting to be able to be there and so exciting to be able to just to be a part of anything that God was doing. And somewhere along the line, somewhere, if we're not careful, things just doesn't seem as exciting as it used to be, and things don't seem as impressive as it used to be, and things just doesn't seem like God is just doing what he used to do in my life. And if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll begin to blame God. We can blame the church. We can blame the pastor. We can blame everybody else except for maybe that person that we see every day when we get to the bathroom mirror and say, maybe, it's not everybody else. Maybe we have to take a hard look at ourselves and say, is it something within my heart? Is it something within my life that has gone wrong? Where is the zeal and the excitement of serving God? Where is the happiness and the joy that I once had? Why am I not seeing the work of God do what's always been done before? What is the difference? Because the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He changes not. So we understand if God doesn't change and his word doesn't change, the only person, the only place that can change is in God's servants and in God's heart. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked above all. Who could know it? The man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart, and it is our desire, it is our part to make sure that we walk closely with the Savior. It is our job and our responsibility that we make sure that we continue to do the will and the work that God has called for us to do. This is something that we have to do. Well, I started out good. This man started out on a good mission to do something good, and something bad happened. I'm not saying that maybe you went crazy off into sin, but maybe you got too busy. Maybe because of work, maybe because of responsibilities, maybe because of any other excuse that we can even imagine here tonight. But can we say, if we can fill in the sentence of whatever excuse we could, is it really a good enough excuse for not being close to God like we should be? After everything that he's done for us, could we not just serve him more? Without him, how lost we would be. I'm thankful for my salvation, thankful for the cross and that he died on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And there are people out there that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There's people out there that still need to hear. There's people out there that still need, and we still have to be a people to care. The Bible says some having compassion, making a difference. We can never lose our compassion for souls. We should never lose our compassion to make a difference in this life. But we will be kidding ourselves if we think that we could do the work without him. It simply can't be done. Well, we're simply just a silly looking stick without our axe head. We're simply stuck in the woods without our axe head. We're simply just spinning our wheels without our axe head. We're not able to do that. See, it's the power of God that changes lives. It's the work of God, and it's the presence of God that does the work. He uses us, and I'm thankful for that, but it is because of who he is. It's not because of who I am. It's because of what he's able to do, not because of who I am here today. And if we be honest, not by any of us. So as we focused on the beam and we see the desire of the person with this, There may come a time where we look at our life and we say, man, I remember when I used to do this and I used to do that for God. But can I ask you, as good as that is, what are we doing for God today? Where is our heart at today? I remember when I was so excited about God doing this, and I was so excited about God doing this in my life back in the day. I was just something else for God. And that's great. But what about today? What about the testimony of today? Where are we at today? Are we able to be willing? See, because if we can all take in a breath here this evening, in and out, and I hope everybody continues to do that, but we find that we're still breathing. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose for your life. God is not done with you. And you say, when will God done with me? You'll know because you'll see him. Amen. So we understand God's got a plan. It doesn't matter. You might not say, well, I'm not able to do what I used to do. God is not trying for you to do what you've always been able to do. God knows your limitations. God's just willing for you to do what you can do for him, what you're able to do for him. And so we see the beam, we see this, and also we see here this man that was in a bad position. He got to the point that every other person that had this axe, they could have came over and they could have cut down his tree for him. I mean, we're problem solvers. Problem solved, right? I mean, hey, you've already got your beam down. You mind if I borrow your axe? You mind if maybe you come over and cut down my tree for me? And that sounds good, but here's the thing. Every man was responsible for their beam. And if we're not careful in our Christian life, what we'll be okay with is as long as we know somebody that can get a hold of God, and as long as we know somebody that has the presence of God in their life, and as long as we know that the preacher's got it, and the Sunday school teacher's got it, and as long as they can get a hold of God and they can make a difference, I think I can kind of just kind of coast through my Christian life. But really, that's not the way that it's supposed to work. The simple fact is that God has given each person a responsibility. God has put a beam in front of you. It may look different than my beam, but God has put something in front of you that he's given you the task to do, and it is your responsibility to make sure that you do the work that God's called for you to do. It could be faithfully serving in the church. There's nothing too small. In serving God, there is nothing. God doesn't look at it and says, well, this is something little that you did for me. Anything in serving God is a big deal. Anything. Amen? Anything, but this is really good. Anything in serving God is a big deal. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to serve the King of Kings. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to come and to tell somebody else about Jesus. It's a wonderful privilege to be the testimony of what God has done within our life. It's a wonderful privilege for people to see the power and the presence of God within your life and the testimony of your life. It's a wonderful privilege to be involved, whether it is cleaning the toilets, whether it's vacuuming the carpets, whether it's greeting somebody at the door, whatever the case may be, it is a wonderful privilege of serving the Lord. God puts things in front of you that no one else is supposed to take care of. God's giving you a responsibility. What I'm saying here tonight is God gives every one of us an opportunity to serve. And it's not measured by, well, he does something big. Some people have a bigger spotlight. I understand that. But it's all important to God. The work of God is something and privilege that we should be willing to do. So he is, and now we see here this man, because of his no acts, that he's stuck in the woods. This is where we spiritually can't be. We can't spiritually spend most of our Christian life stuck in the woods. We can't. There's too many people that are dying and going to a place called hell where God never planned for them to go, because we've lost our axe head, we've lost our purpose, we've lost our zeal, we've lost our excitement, we've lost our power to do anything to be able to make a difference in this world, and we have to determine to get it back. We have to determine to do what needs to be done. So this tree that is in front of us is our responsibility. So we say, how do I get it back? We will see that here in just a second, within just a few minutes here, and I'll be done. A couple things that we see here. They're going to the Jordan River. A couple things that we can see here, and you can look through the Word of God as you see. He's going down to cut down a tree that's by the River Jordan. Now, if you leave that tree by itself, we understand here that that's good for the environment, a lot of different things like that. That tree, its purpose, it's there by the River Jordan. But once it's cut down, it'll never be the same again. Can I tell you, once you become a Christian, you know Jesus Christ, a personal Lord and Savior, you're never the same. You're totally different. Your life is totally different than it'll ever be again. And if that tree would have stayed by Jordan and never to be done, what will happen is eventually it'll go through so many storms, so many things by itself, eventually it'll just be destroyed. But once this tree is cut down and it's going to be moved for its purpose, of course, for what it's doing, and a great picture of salvation is you might still go through the storms, but you'll never have to go through the storms alone. You know, God doesn't say the Christian life is going to be easy. God doesn't say there will be no more storms. God doesn't say there will be no more trials. But he does say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It does comfort us to know that even though that I'm going through the storm, that he's right there with us. And boy, I tell you, although that I have to go through some storms in our life, you have to go through some storms, I'd rather go through the storms with him than without him. And although that this beam, as it gets cut down, of course we understand it can never be with one purpose again. That's the same as the Christian, those that get saved and trust Jesus Christ. We understand it'll never go through the storm again. Then we see the beam eventually, was because the plan for it was to build a bigger space. We understand eventually it's going to be founded upon a solid rock. It's going to be able to face the storms of life. All these different things that we could look at here tonight in this is so much of a picture of the Christian life and seeing what God wants to do within our life. I'm thankful that we don't have to go through these storms alone. I'm thankful for what God has done within our life. I'm thankful to know that there has to come a time in our life where he says, I have to have God's power and God's presence in my life. There is no substitute. And we'll find places all across the world. You can find it in the Philippines. You can find it in every country. You can find it in America that has no power and no presence of God. And they'll substitute, anything else they can think of, whether it comes from different colored lights to bubble machines, you name it, whatever it is. And they'll do that because they have to substitute for the power and the presence of God. And they do that. And I'm not trying to make fun of anything, but let's just be honest here tonight that, I don't think that any person's ever walked into a church and said, wow, man, they've got 2 70-inch flat screen TVs. I really feel the Lord here. Right? They probably didn't. I'm not against TVs. I'm not against it. But that's not going to bring God's power and God's presence. Right? There's probably those that says, man, they've got green, yellow, and blue, and purple lights going all at the same time. Man, I can just feel God moving. Probably never happened. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to substitute for something they can't get a hold of. Because God is just, because God is holy, because God is right. And we understand that we don't do it our way, we do it God's way. And I may be a silly illustration here tonight, but we look at this, but Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 12, it tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the Bible tells us? Although the world says, well, let's just put up some bubble machines, or let's just put up some different lights, and let's just put up a couple different big flat screen TVs, and we'll just make a difference, and boy, we'll just bring them in, and we'll just pack it in, and boy, things will be done. The problem is that there's no difference made in the lives of the individuals that come in and out of those doors, because it's not about TVs, and it's not about lights, and it's not about feeling good. It's not about just making sure that we've kind of checked off the mark of coming to church. It's about knowing and feeling the presence of God within our life, that God convicts us. And this is the Word of God. And the Word of God, sometimes what the Bible says kind of can tear us up. And sometimes the Word of God is hard. And sometimes we don't like to hear what the Bible says because we're wrong. So we're wrong, right? But the Bible says it's right. And the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And God's, we understand we're being compassionate, we're loving sinners, and we're doing all the best that we can to serve Him. But it's this book right here that will make the difference in the hearts and lives of people. It is this book here that has throughout the generations that will stand and will see what God is able to do to the lives of people. It is this book that has encouraged people. It is this book that has led people to know the way of salvation. It is this book that has comforted people. It is this book that has been there through all generations. It is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. This is our axe head, part of our axe head here this evening. And I'm telling you, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And we got to get away from what the world says how to bring everybody in and get back to what God says to be able to bring back people in and understand here tonight if the Bible says if God be for us, then who can be against us? What a wonderful thing it is to know that we have a living Savior, that God is able to do that. God is not dead and wore out and not concerned about the things of this world and thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do what needs to be done. We have a God that is all powerful, His presence, and I'm telling you, when we seek His face and we begin to see His power of what He's able to do, I'm telling you, people are longing to see God's hand again. People are longing to see God's presence again. Many people have probably seen a time or two where I'm sure that they've seen God's power and God's presence in a service. And if you weren't there, they'd try to describe it, and they're probably going to sum it up something like this: you just had to have been there. Because once you experience God's power and God's presence, I'm talking where God just begins to move and God begins to do something, you just know God's there. Boy, there's nothing like it. Not every day is like that. Not every day we understand that. But I'm telling you, the life of the Christian, the life of serving God is the best life. It's not something of saying, it would be nice to have God's power and presence in my life. It has to become a necessity. It has to become something that we begin to be burdened about, that we ask God for, that we begin to search and ask Him. The Bible says if we draw nigh to God, that He'll draw nigh to us. But are we drawing nigh to Him? Where's our desire? Where's our love? Where's our prayer life? Where's our Bible reading? Where's our love for sinners? I remember a time when I used to be on fire for the things of God. But those are dangerous words when we say, I used to be able to. I did. But where are we now? He says, well, to be honest, we could say that it may be that we're in a spot to where our axe head has fallen off. We understand Jesus makes the difference. Multitudes filled the house, walked miles. Thousands went to see Him in a desert place, not because of anything fancy, but because of Him. Jesus is enough. We don't have to go through everything that this world has to offer. He's enough. All I need is Him. He's able to do this. And lastly, we find here, and as we look through this, we see His power, we see His presence, we see the work that He wants to do. But if we look here in verse number 6, it says, and the man of God said, where fell it? And they showed Him a place where He cut down the stick and cast it in hither, and the iron did swim. Come to the place where we realize, man, maybe somewhere in life, busyness of life, wherever I'm at in life, maybe that axe head has fell off. Maybe I don't have God's power and presence in my life like I used to have it or like I want to have it. Whatever the case may be, whatever the situation is, the question has to be, where fell it? Where did it fall at? Was it where you told God no? Was it where you said, I'm going to do my thing and not your thing? What you could make up any different thing of where it is, and you say, well, preacher, how am I going to know? Just ask God to tell you. He'll definitely let you know. But somewhere along the lines, that has happened, and we have to get back. If we have had that happen in our life, we have to say, where fell it? Go back and get it. Ask God to get us back to where we need to be in our spiritual life, and that we can have that power and that presence of God in our life. The last thing that we see here is that when He asked the man of God, and He told him where it was, he found somebody. He said, the Bible says, he cut down a stick and cast it in hither. He found somebody that still had his sharp edge. When we're not where we need to be with God, the last person we need to talk to is somebody that don't have theirs either. Because what happens is they'll say, listen, you're okay. You're fine. You're not that bad. Don't listen to everything, all these Christians are telling you everything's fine, you're not that bad, you're a good person. And nobody's saying you're not a good person, but do you have God's power? Do you have God's presence? What you need to do is you need to find somebody that's still got their axe head. You need to find somebody that's still got their sharp blade. You need to find somebody like your pastor to be able to go to give you that wisdom, to be able to help you through what you need to do to get through that day. Every person needs God's power and God's presence in their life. There is no substitute for it this evening. You have to have it. God's provision is wonderful. I love how God provides, how God does what only that He can do. But can I tell you, so many times in our life, if we're not careful, we try to take care of everything ourselves. Well, I tell you, God's way is just easier. If we just yield ourselves to Him, let God have His will and way in our life, that we just follow Him, man, everything's just so much easier. So I want that joy and that peace and that happiness of just serving God and living for Him. There's something wonderful and amazing about the Christian life of just being serving and being willing to do whatever He'd have for us to do. But the Christian life can be miserable as well. That's where we know we're not right with Him, or we're not exactly where we need to be, or we're not doing everything that we know that we're supposed to. And if we're not careful, we'll go through our life miserable as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying we're doing something really, really wrong. I'm just saying that we're not doing everything we know we're supposed to. And we're just not happy. We just don't have that joy and that peace and that excitement. This is the worst we're ever going to have it. I mean, one day we're going to go to heaven if you're saved. And boy, we're going to live forever for him. I mean, the best is really yet to come. And I know this. I the only opportunity I have to serve him is while we're here on this earth. I want to do the best that I can to serve him now. I want to do the best that I can to live for him now, because I'm not promised another tomorrow. I want to be right with him. I want to do the work. Too many lives weigh in the balance for me not to take serious the beam that God's put in front of me. For me, it's putting Bibles in the Philippines. That's my beam. That's what God's... I know that God could use anybody else. I know that he could. But for whatever reason, that's what the task that God's put me to. And I want to be able to make sure. I cannot do it without my axe head. I cannot do it without him. I can't do it without his power. I can't do it without without his presence. I don't even want to try. We have to have him. And today, God may have put a beam in front of you. Do you have God's power? Do you have God's presence? If you don't, boy, tonight would be a good night to get that back, because God's got big plans for every person. And God wants to see you do something that God has a plan for you that nobody else can fulfill. That, boy, God has something that he can do within your life if you let him. If we've lost our axe head, let's get it back. Let's see what God can do with our life, with the Christian life, that will just be sold out to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to be able to present the work that you've given to us, but also to be able to preach. I sure don't take it lightly. Lord, I believe I was obedient to what you'd have for me to preach tonight, and Lord, but I'm thankful for your power and your presence. Lord, as the pastor comes and does what he'd like to do, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just have your will and way in the service. Thank you for it. In your name I pray.